Lord, we thank you for the ministry of your word again tonight. We ask you to receive in our hearts. That is a revelation of our hearts that needed much more with your word. We ask that tonight, this insight, clarity, as instructions comes to us regarding learning, we ask you to help to learn properly your word. It is by your spirit tonight. It is by your word. It's by your spirit. Yep. Let our hearts be ignited. Study deeper to receive and bring your truth and your counsel. To make your word a perspective to life. To make your word a worldview. Above every nonsense, opinion, thoughts. Above every experience, to esteem your word as Lord. Let us find food in our hearts. Even our hungry hearts tonight from your word. Let us find light on our paths from your word. Let us find direction to every confusion in your word. Let us find strength to every weakness, every weak areas. Let us find strength in your word. Let us find meal for our souls in your word. Much more, let us find lodge of our lives in your word. We ask and receive this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel is our text again, Matthew 28. Looking at learning properly. So, what I'll be doing is that I will be concluding your thoughts today, and then I will be picking up the same thoughts again next year's thoughts. Praise God. So, that will be something like a B part. Hallelujah. Or what we've been looking at. And I plan to do that all the while. So, but I felt I could space the two thoughts. But I'm lumping them together. So we concluded thoughts today, and then which has been exhortational, has been instructional. And then we'll look at in the same light, we'll take another thought from coming Thursday, which is much more instructive. Hallelujah. So Matthew 28 is our text quickly. That means I'm going to be a little bit fast or slow. Just flow. Matthew 28. He says in 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And Matthew says, amen. Hallelujah. So, we said, you know, we have an ongoing walk, right? Alright? We call that ongoing walk learning. Learning. A kind of transformational learning, let's put it that way. A transformational learning. That was what we said. We said a transformational learning. Last week, I think we also took some time on Romans chapter 12. Just look at that text again. Romans chapter 12, in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Hallelujah. It is holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now look at verse 2, which is our text. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you may prove, I told you the word prove there, means recognize and act on something. To and act to prove. Are we together? Now, in a recent day English language, the word prove could mean to show evidence. Hallelujah. But in the old reading, prove means to act something out. It means, hallelujah, to demonstrate. So he says that you may demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I heard some folks say from this text that you can have the good will of God, or the acceptable. Then you can have God, which is not the perfect will of God. Definitely, that is not true. Hallelujah. All right, that's not true. That's not what the text is saying. Sometimes, when folks talk that way, communicate with sense. Now, this very text is not what. All right. So, communicate a concept because it's valid. Scriptures. No. No. If you want to say something, there is a text that sees it. Is it clear? Is it clear? Ha. But we have to be honest. Someone says, in speaking the truth of God, we must speak it truthfully. And that's right. So we don't make Bible text to say what they are not saying. Even with what we want to say is in God's word. Find a text that talks about that. Why is that important? I told you severally that when a Bible text is misconstrued, a major truth is lost. Are we together? And there's nobody that wants their words to be misconstrued, not even God. Is it clear? Is it clear? Alright? So he says that you may discern and demonstrate what is that good, which is the acceptable, which is the perfect will of God. So look at this verse 2. The Bible says what to do with our minds. It says to renew it. And that has to do with learning, like we're talking about. The Bible tells us with our minds. I'm touching my chest as though that's my mind. Are we together? But the Bible tells us what to do with our minds. God created you and I, and then He gives you a mind. Are we together? What happens in your mind? You think, you decide. You know, sometimes in conversations, you say things like, oh, I've not made up my mind. Someone is asking you, what do you want? Say, I've not made up my mind. Say, give me some time. I've not decided. So there's that part of you that when you've tidied up the work there, your entire life begins to follow a direction. Are we together? There's that part of you that what goes on there affects how your life turns out. So God is regarding what to do with your mind. And the very first thing he says to renew your mind. Are we together? Now, earlier on, we saw from Matthew 22 text where it says to love the Lord thy God, and then he says, with your mind. Deuteronomy chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 8. To love the Lord thy God, he says, with your mind, with all of your mind. He mentions your soul, he mentions your heart. And I told you, those were not three different things. He simply uses three words to emphasize the same thing. Your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. He's talking about the same thing. Talking about the same thing. So the Bible tells us what to do with our minds. Or with your mind. And it says to do what? To renew it. See, I renew my mind. That's it. To renew it. And that doesn't look like what you do once. It's a present continuous reality. To renew. You know, it's like you recharge your phone again. You subscribe your data again, right? Right? You don't say, oh, I've subscribed, then I should have a lifetime usage. No, you have to subscribe again. So it says to renew your mind. Renew your mind. That mind needs something like a rewashing. So I ought to renew my mind. Hallelujah. I've had someone say,
something before. He said, why are you talking that way? He said, I just want to pour out my mind. Well, the Bible actually doesn't say you should pour out your mind. The Bible says to renew it. Because sometimes you can be pouring out toxicity. Yep. A lot of folks just, you pour out toxic stuffs. You pour out things that ruins relationships. You pour out things that ruins people's lives. Sometimes, some parents, you pour out words that ruins the lives of your children. Amen. I just want to pour out my mind. I just want to pour out my mind. In pouring out your mind, then you're gossiping. Nope. You're pouring out your mind and then you're ruining other people's reputation. You pull other people's image down before others so that they lose respect in the eyes of others. No, you are not pouring out of your mind. You are walking in the flesh. Because self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. To them, primarily, when you have bridled your mouth, your tongue, it says you've taken control of your life. That's what James said. Are we together? That's what James said. Look at James chapter 3. That's what James said. James, glory to God, chapter 3. I'll read from verse 1. He says, my brethren, so he's talking to Christians. Glory to God. My brethren, he says, be not many masters. The word master there is the word teacher. Then he says, knowing that we shall receive the greater damn condemnation. Now verse 2, for in many things we do what? We offend all. He says, and if any man offend not in what? If any man offend not in what? Some say words. Some say conversations. Yep. Conversations. Now, where do you have conversations? Spoken words, right? 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 Wait. Can I also have conversations by writing something down? Huh? Huh? Now, look at it. Is chatting another form of writing? So is chatting conversations? Did you see that? Did you see that? So does that include online, offline? Huh? Do I act on God's word online, offline? Conversations? Chatting? Wait, what about commenting on Twitter threads? Can I act on God's word while on Twitter? Can I be a Christian on the Twitter spaces? Can I get a response on this? Did you see that? Can I be a Christian on Twitter, on Instagram, TikTok, the things I listen to, right? Thank you. So look at our text again. Verse 2. For in many things we offend all, if any man offend not in words, don't say in words. Does that include chatting? Can I get responses? Does that include chatting? Can I get responses? Does that include chatting? Can I get responses? Does that include chatting? Commenting? Reading? Writing? Can we take the text together? Verse 2, 1 to go. For in many things we offend or read up. Any man offend or not. Right? The same is what? The word perfect is the word matured. Glory to God. Is the word mature. So James is talking about maturity. James is teaching on spiritual maturity. Look at it. He says the very first sign of spiritual maturity is how you interact with words. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Words. What I do with words how I respond to words. He says, the same is a matured man, look at this, able also to bridle the what? The whole body. That means my control over myself, my body, which includes my appetites. My control over myself starts with over my words. My words. Or the words that I come in contact with. If I can control the influence from words through the influence from other aspects. That's what James is talking about. James said, he says, behold also the sheaves which, though they be so great, and have driven of fierce winds, yet they turn about with every very small M, whithersoever the governor listed. 5, even so the tongue is a little member, and boasted great things. He says, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindled. And the tongue is a fire. World of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defies the whole body. It says, and set it on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of what? Of hell. Look at this. It is where every kind of beast and birds and serpents, things in the sea is tamed, and have been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame, and is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Wow. It goes on to talk about wisdom. Look at verse 13. He says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of words of wisdom. Hallelujah. Words. Don't say words. So look at this. So much for pouring out your mind. He says, you must renew your mind. Romans chapter 12 verse 2. I renew my mind. Praise God. Did you get it? One of your major responsibilities to your mind is to renew it. One of your major tasks to your life is to renew your mind. A major task in your life, renew your mind. A major task. I told you from Romans chapter 12 when it says, be not conformed to this world. The original text actually says, don't let this world to do what? Can you respond to that? Don't let this world to do what? Can I get responses? Don't let this world to squeeze you into what? Its mold. Look at this. That shows you that the very primary way that this world squeezes me into its own mold is by the words in the world. Words, the sounds, the price by which this world squeezes me into its mold is by the words. The words. You find it online, like I said, you find it offline. Are we there? If I can control what I listen to and read and say, I will have a lot of control over my life. Praise God. Did you get it? I'm saying the same things in different ways. If I can have a control, are we together? Are we together? Over what? Over what? The things I listen to, right? In which other way does words come to us? The sense of hearing, right? The sense of what? Sight. Are we together? The sense of sight. Amen. Someone say, what about feeling? Actually, the sense of sight and ears feed feeling. For example, look at it. Someone brings you a guava. Are we there? Or a fruit. Someone bring you, what fruit has a lot of fragrance?
Maybe mango or pineapple, yeah, something like that. So let's say someone brings you a pineapple, right? 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 Now, let's say you didn't see the pineapple, okay? Someone brings the pineapple around, but you did not see the pineapple. How did you know it's a pineapple? I smelled it. Well, someone told you before that when you smell this smell, it is what? It is pineapple. You had interacted with sounds and sight around that thing. That even when you didn't see it, you smelled it, you knew it was it. So it shows you that the gateway into man's mind is his sight and sound. If I can control what I interact with, it is I will be able to control my life. So if Paul says, do not let the world to squeeze you mold, he's saying, have control over the things you hear and the things you see and read. Praise God. Satan, therefore, primarily through my eyes and ears. Because that is how he affects man. The first sin in the Bible resulted from a conversation. Right? Right? The first thing in the Bible resulted from a conversation. In conversation, if was in conversation with Adam. Are we together? Are we together? So you see, that's the fourth thing. The sin in, are we there? Are we there? First sin was a sin of words. The first thing in the Bible was the sin of words. She couldn't control the conversation she had. Demonstrate control. And so she couldn't control her decision. Then she acted against God's word. Praise God forevermore. So what I see, what I hear, what I watch, what you watch online, does that include the kind of movies you see? Huh? Do they affect you?
Yep.
And place a restraint. If you can demonstrate control on what you see, what you hear, that means someone comes to you, look at this, someone comes to you in the church, and then it is, have you seen that sister? The way that sister is looking at you. Now everything was fine. You were doing excellently well. Until the person came and said, have you seen the way, why is sister so looking at you that way? Then the next service when you came in, you are looking at how the sister is looking at you. What got you to that point is that you have listened. Did you see that? Conversation. Or you've been fervent serving the Lord in the church. You commit your resources, your time, your energy to serving the Lord. And suddenly someone who is not committed to the Lord, maybe not even, you know, in a serious local assembly, comes around you and says, why are you always going on evangelism? Then the next, you didn't have a very smooth set thinking. You're thinking because you've listened to words. As I sometimes, when I'm in conversation with people and I see there's a drastic turn on a negative direction, I know. What did you listen to? Who did you listen to? I've asked several people in church that question before. Who did you listen to? Someone spoke to you. Look at this. Look at tell Adam. He says, who told you that you were what? Naked. Who told you? Did you see that? Who told you? That was what God said. Now, If that was a pastor today, and the pastor comes and says, who told you? Who did you listen to? You know, sometimes in the skepticism of your mind, you might be thinking, does that mean I should not listen? That is God talking, and God said, who told you? God wants all of your attention. See, all of my attention. He wants all of it. Who told you? We need to ask some brothers and sisters in the church, who told you? Who told you that what you're doing is a waste? Glory to God forevermore. Look at it in every word. Someone say words. Words. So the way that this world squeezes you into its mold is through words. God wants you to master words. Hallelujah. Master it. How do you master it? Don't listen to it. Is it clear? Don't what? Don't listen. Now look at this. Our words, our songs also words. Don't what? Don't listen. I say, tell me in the Bible why I should not listen to this song. Stupid Christians. That's how they ask questions. Show me in the Bible. Where in the Bible does it say I should not smoke? Please. Get 10 packs. God bless you. Where in the Bible does it say I should not? Those are stupid Christians. Can you show me one Bible text? Now, if you are not a serious person, you will also try to show the person one Bible text. Are we there? Nobody needs a Bible text to sin or not to sin. People sin on their own. Is it clear? Like someone said, what you are teaching people is making them to sin. That means there was somebody in the garden that was teaching them. The grace message made people to sin. That means somebody was preaching grace message in the garden. Nonsense. Praise God. 1 Corinthians what? Don't listen to the what? The song. Don't put a song on your playlist. Don't put it there. Your Christian brother, a Christian sister. He said, I just use it to cool off. Cool off? No, you don't use it to cool off. You use it to get the world to squeeze into his mold. A Christian brother on your phone, Zlatan. On your phone, that holy vessel, that phone. You brought the world into your room to live with you. Then you wonder why your evangelism, you're struggling. You have not started struggling. Until you see struggle promax. Are we together? You bring Zlatan. Is that not his name? Is that not their name? You bring Zlatan. Zlatan. I mentioned him four times now. In one sermon. You think he's important? Are we together? On your phone. Then you go and follow blogs. Linda Ekeji. Yaba left. Someone said, I wonder how pastors know these things. Because they think we live in Pluto. Very dark black man. You follow, you subscribe, you turn on notifications. Are we together? Then you say, I don't know why I can't pray. How will you pray? You say, sir, I'm not motivated to pray. How
How will you be motivated? Jesus spoke about a kind of soil that grows thorn alongside the seed. He says the seed was choked. Let me tell you something. The word of God, as powerful as it is, can be choked up. Glory to God. See, I'm intelligent. God's word. God's word that brings salvation to people. God's word that brings deliverance. God's word that brings supernatural direction. God's word that brings healing. He said he sent his word and it brings healing. That word can be defeated. May the word of God not be defeated in my life. Yeah. 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 Because you are listening to Zlatan. Brother, bro, imagine we check brother on last phone. And instead of saying, this strong Blerista, I give my all to you. And we see Domwer, and we see songs by Sinatra, and we see songs by Frank Edwards. We see number one, Frank Edwards, number two, Zlatan. Ah! Number three, Ibile. Number four, Ibile. Number five, Ibile. Number six, Ibile. Number seven, Ibile. Number eight, Domwe. You should have removed Domwe from your phone. Please remove that. Remove Domwe. Remove it. Let your phone, Ibile, 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 Ibile. Just let Ibile be everywhere so that we know how to start with you. Brother Ibile. Oh God. A tongue talking brother Ibile. Imagine. You know, I say, we should pray. Then you join the prayer meeting. Ibile, 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 Ibile. Because that's what your leader is not speaking in tongues. You are speaking in the rubbish. We also have some sister Ibile. Hey! You are choking the word of God. You are choking the word of God. See, the word of God was described as a seed. Seed is dependent on the environment. A seed. Glory to God forevermore. The words, including songs. He said, it's worth life. So I say a little prayer. That's the song you listen to. He said, how much my. What is something? Is this a little Dion or not? He said, I believe. Like one church like that. Hey! The choir had lost themselves. They did not know that it was the one listener. He said, I believe I can fly. In the service, you will fly to hell. Can't you see you're already flying? Hell is 40 minutes from here. Keep flying. Mute the whole music team. We believe we can fly. We believe. The same music team, when we start teaching God's word, they are flown. See, I'm not like that. I give room to the word. Give room to the word. Is it clear? I give room to the word. You've got to learn to give room to the word. Instead of seeing that movie, sleep. Hey! Season 1, season 9, season 50. You alone. See, I like those Korean guys. They are fine. Imagine. Then in the service, this service is too long ago. This service is 40 minutes. And the moment you get home, I can bet eternal life on it. The moment you get home, you are going to watch that movie. Then 30 minutes into the service, what's this? This man of God, how you leave the teaching 1 hour and he's not even drinking water? Is it your teaching? I give God's word room. Is it clear, church? Words. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. I told you to open there. Hey! Tell your neighbor, say, hey!
Hey!
I didn't say you should say, hey! You say, hey!
Hey!
Ah! It's like someone is dressed like this with a fine white robe. Maybe he's going for a wedding or an announcing ship somewhere. He said, hey! That's the same thing. You have Domware, you have St. Nash, you have Pastor Chris songs, you have Chris Delvin songs, you have Saints Come to Church in songs, you have the Nancy Slatan. Hey! What are you doing with this? Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Say, I give God's word room. I give God's word room. Give His space to grow. The amount of space you give to God's word is the amount of space He's going to fill. And that is how strong Christians are built. Everybody who became strong in an area gave unlimited attention and space to that particular thing. I'm not a believer. You are believable, but you are stop being stupid. See? Someone came to invite you to church and said, I'm not having. Because you are sung unavailable, it has entered your brain. There are no more available for useful things. His words. Is it clear? There is nothing that corrupts faster than words. In 1 Corinthians, there. Corinthians. Look at what it says in chapter 15, verse 33. Be not what? Deceived. Evil communications corrupt what? Good manners. Now, this is not an African proverb. Say, Paul said that something. No, calm down. Before you translate it, look at the text. The good manners in this text, what does it imply? And what does evil communication in this text imply? Look at the genesis of that issue in chapter 15. It says, for I am the least in verse 9 of the apostles, and I am not meant to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. The sword, now if Christ be preached from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection from the dead? So you see, he started with a false teaching that there is no resurrection. A false teaching. Now look at 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, he says, then is our preaching vain. And your faith is also what? Vain. Yeah, we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised up, be it that Christ did not rise. That the dead rather rise not. Look at 16. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. He's making an argument. Verse 18. Then they also which are falling asleep in Christ, it is that perished. If only, even this life only, we have hope in Christ. We are of all men most miserable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit of the world, they are Christ in his coming, at his coming.
Then come at the end where they shall have believed. Now if you read on, he says in verse 29, else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not all at all? Where are they then baptized for the dead? And why shall we stand in jeopardy every hour? In other words, where have we been persecuted? If there was to be no resurrection, where have we been persecuted? He's talking about the labor and fervency in the ministry and serving the Lord. 31, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. That die daily there talks about being persecuted, suffering. He says, I suffer daily, I die daily. He says in 32, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is me? What advantage is me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not what? This communications corrupt what? Good manners. If you read on and on, you see how we ended it. It says in verse 50, everyone, can we take it together? Now these I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit the corruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be tickling of an eye, and the last trump of trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. So is there resurrection. And we shall all be what? Be changed. Verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, shall it be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed in what? In victory. Oh, death, where is that still? Oh, great, where is that victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. Can we take it to 7 together? But thanks be to God, which gives us victory through our Lord Jesus. 58, everyone. Did you see that? So you have to show them that your labor in the Lord is not what? In vain. Why does he have to tell them that? There was a force in the church that there is no resurrection of the saints. Now if there is no resurrection, it means there is no reward. Because to receive reward, we have to be raised from the dead. So that teaching that says there is no resurrection is pouring cold water on people's fervency. So words that are spoken can affect your fervency. Words, songs, materials you read. Glory to God. So he says, don't let this world squeeze you into its mold primarily by words. See, I take control over the things I see, over the things I hear, over the things I say. Yeah. The things I read, I take control. So you see, leave us authority in the things you, the information. Because influences are by information. God can't influence us if he can't get his information across to us. The same with Satan, the same with the world. He can influence us. You know, one of the things that affected Israel in the journey in the wilderness was the news of other nations that they had. They had the news. 12 that Moses sent to Canaan. They came back, and 10 of them, 10! 10! That's like times 5 of the good witness. 10 came and said, hey guys, that place. You say, the supper we did here is being cooked. Are we there? The people were like, you mean there's no job? So the guy said, there's no job. There's no. All the jobs the children of the wealthy people have taken. They were telling Israel. Yeah. In that city, in that nation, to get any job, you have to know people by connection. And they believed it. So they began to complain. Then God said, what you say is what I will do. They all perished. God didn't kill them. Their words ruined them. So don't let his word to squeeze you into what? Into his mold. Is that clear, church?
So how is the world not going to squeeze me into his mold? Romans chapter 12 verse 2. Renew your mind. Dictate what you listen to. Select your playlists. Choose the account you follow. Are we together? Choose the account you follow on the social media. Choose the account. Don't allow toxicity around you. False news around you. Are we together? Someone told me about my Facebook wall. He says, why are you painting the government white? I'm not painting any government white. What good is it in sharing bad news? There's already a lot of toxicity in the air. Let's get someone who talks about the good things around. Are we together? Yeah. I just like the good things about my country. That's just me. I like to talk about the jobs that are plenty. I like to talk about the companies that are growing. I like to talk about my city, Hillary. I like to talk doing well in the city. Are we together? I choose what I focus on. And that's what I see. We don't ignore what is wrong as though nothing should be done about them. Are we together? But that is not our confession. That is not our faith. I believe in good things. I believe the best of people. God, is it clear? Let me read. Goodness is my reality. I believe that on this soil where I'm serving the God, I'll be prosperous. Are we together? I believe that my life will not be lost. And that my blood will not be shed on this soil. I believe. Start talking about what I believe. Are we together? They say, no. Talk about the truth. Talk about what is your truth? What is your truth? Hey, why are you talking about bad things that are happening? The last time I checked, I didn't put a padlock on your lips. You talk about the things you want to talk about. And let me talk about the things I want to talk about. Are we together? If I put my social media out and I post something, did I lock your own? Are we together? If I say something on my wall and then you come and you comment negativity, I delete it. I'm a Christian. I delete it. You will find your comments where people throw dust in the bin. Are we together? Because you have your own wall to post your toxicity. Put it on your Facebook wall. My life is ruined. Yes, we will like it. Are we together? Put it there. This is Yaga Yaga, the part of the country where you are living. Your life. And your world cannot be better than the words you listen to. Is it clear? The things you say can never be better than the ones you hear. Oftentimes, you even discover that you pick your language and diction from words, the abundance of words that come to you. You have the right language. So you don't let this world to squeeze you. How? It says that the renewing of your mind, we said that last week, by the renewing of your mind, so I don't accommodate wrong thoughts. I don't see things in the wrong perspectives. I allow God's word to show me how to think. How to think. I told you that the first way, the way it starts, is that you begin to accommodate thoughts. I showed you the last 2 weeks now. You begin to accommodate thoughts. I put it in my note. I said, number one, you find yourself accommodating thoughts. And coming alongside the thoughts are perspectives. perspectives that are not your own. Praise it. It moves. You no more see it as a big dish, the way the world thinks. You no more see it as a big deal. I mentioned cohabiting, right? Right? When you see a man and a woman, a boy and a girl, living together, they are not siblings, they are not married. They stay in the same room, they live in the same room together. No, that is not Christian. If care is not taken, you accommodate it, then you don't see the big deal about it again. It doesn't mean you are not either practicing it, but you don't see the big deal about it again. It no more moves you. When someone says this and this, they do that, it doesn't get to you anymore. That's to show you the world is squeezing you into his mold. Premarital sex. Premarital sex. It doesn't move you anymore. I didn't say you're doing it, but it looks. So what's the big deal? No, there's a big deal in it. Tell your neighbor, say there's a big deal in it. Are we together? When you swindle people for money. Yeah, the guy is a Yahoo boy. The guy is a Yahoo boy. So in your mind, you are thinking that stable financially. No, that's not financial stability. If you see it as financial stability, then your sense of identity and your value judgment is warped. It's corrupted. You call a thief, a criminal, financially stable. We should check your own brain. You, the Christian. We should check your brain. You are not different from somebody who sees. You see one person who is a farmer. He's a farmer. He tills the soil. He labors. Makes money. Then you now see another one who sells her body for money. Now, because the one that sells her body for money has a car, lives in a good apartment, seems to be able to meet her natural needs without stress, you now begin to envy her life. And then when the other one that labors comes around, begins to despise that, this one is not. We should check your brain. It means your sense of judgment, value judgment, you have lost what value is. You begin to accommodate it. See, I don't accommodate nonsense. I said it's going to move. So, on gambling, right? I mentioned gambling. Today, it's seen as, you could almost take like 20 people and on 15 phones. Bet. You back. They don't ask you. And you say, I don't bet. They look at you like, who is this guy? No, I should look at you and say, who is this guy? Gambling. Gambling is a wasteful use of resources. And it contradicts God's plan. When you gamble, it contradicts God's plan. God does not commit resources to gamblers. He cannot. He cannot. God cannot commit resources. And then someone will say, oh, but this person gambles and he has made it. How many people do you know that have made it financially from gambling? Oftentimes, they gamble it away again. It's to show you there is a psycho-addictive effect. It's an abuse of your mental resource. It is covetousness. It is lack of self-control. You can't be led by the Spirit. You can't be led. Resources can't be committed to you. I told you, the way God on the earth,
God selects those who have his resources. I know what I'm saying. I'm not saying God is the one that makes people wealthy. But I say God selects those he gives his resources to. And oftentimes you observe that people through whom others have been blessed with their lives, there's a common way they use resources. Go check. And one of the major ingredients of a man through whom God will bless other lives through is that that person is frugal. Frugality means to cope and to prevent waste. You see Joseph as an example. God had to preserve the life of an entire nation, Israel, through whom he will carry out his plan on the earth, by the habit of one man who knows how to save. One man that has learned how to save at the time when it is surplus, God used him to preserve a whole generation through whom Jesus now came. Are we together? After a while, yeah, you are not doing it, but it doesn't look like a big deal anymore. No. Are we together? Sprinkling people for money. No. Are we together? I told you number three. When you are faced with such opportunities, you begin to logicalize it. When you are now faced with such opportunities, it takes you time to decide on the right thing. Why is it taking you time? You get? Why is it taking you time to decide on the right thing? Why? Why? Why is it taking you time? Are we together? Someone brings an opportunity to you and say, you know, but someone brings an offer to you. He said, hey, I want you to. He said, I've been your friend for a while. I like your voice. You think the person wants to hear the gospel? He said, I like your voice. I don't know, can you mimic this voice? Then he plays the voice for you. Can you mimic it? Then you mimic it. He said, oh, wow. He said, there's this thing that me and my friends do. You just read out some things with some voice. And then they just say that. When you say it that way, we'll credit you money. Yahoo boy. That's it. You want you to sound like a white person. Can you talk like this customer Kevin? And the credit allowed that they receive. And then you're like, should I do, should I not? Why are you thinking about it? Why not ask questions? What do you do for a living? Can I see proofs? Say I'm doing importing and exporting. You are a thief. Thief to their face. Just the very thought of it already angers me. Can you see this thing? Are we there? Why is it making sense to you? Why is it making sense? Why is it taking you time? Are we there? Someone say, I don't know, something has happened to my accommodation, and then move in with me. I am thinking. Why are you thinking? Value judgment has been tampered. Glory to God. So when you are faced with opportunities, which are actually temptations, you logicalize it. You are thinking, is it really bad? Is it really bad? How will you say, is it really bad? Is it really bad? I said, bring 2K, N20. Is it really bad? How? With all your societal and logical and financial and what is it called? Academic status. I thought you passed mathematics in basic school. Bring 2K, collect 20. Then you send 2K, collect 20. Then you send the 20. So in I said, where is my money? You can't even boldly come out and say somebody's doing it because we ask you what you did. Oldie. It is called Olegbe Olegba. Are we together? Are we together? They call it Ponzi scheme, right? A Christian. That was even better. I saw one pastor. Oh God, don't let's talk about it. Don't let's talk about it. Why is that even better? Church funds. Why am I talking about it? I didn't say I didn't talk about it. Are we together? Cybex, I mean, what do they call it? Is it Cybex? 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 Ah. Christian, what were you thinking? They say, when you bring 100,000, you collect 600. You three, Brother Judas, you carry 100. Some carry school fees. Cybex now chop it and junk what out. They are now praying to God. God of me. The miracle you need is a miracle of common sense. It begins to look logical. And I told you several that Satan plays a long game. Satan always lets you to adapt to something, then he strikes. Are we there? You are now under pressure. Are we together? You will now start saying it. You will start giving examples of those who are doing it. Little by little, you act on it once. Under pressure, you act on it once. That means you have a reason for acting. Under pressure. You have a reason. Acting on it. Under pressure. You act on it. And look at this. The moment it simply needs to occur one more time. The moment you logicalize it, you begin to accommodate the thought. Is that number one? Number two, what happens? You don't see a big deal in it. Number three, when you are faced with opportunities, you are logicalizing it. Number four, under pressure, are we together? You begin to say what? Others are doing it till you act on it once. See, the moment you act on it once, you only need it to happen what? One more time. The moment it becomes repeated, it becomes a custom. That is how the world squeezes into its mold. Are we together, church? So look at what it says. He says, don't be squeezed. Tell your neighbor, say, don't be squeezed. He says, do not be squeezed. Say, I'm not squeezed. I'm not squeezed because I know who I am. Hallelujah. Who are you? In James 1, who are you? James 1. Praise God forevermore. In James 1, hold your hands there. Look at 1 Peter 1. In 1 Peter 1:18, it is for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers. In 22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Say, I have purified my heart. I have purified my soul. So, look at this. Who are you? I have purified my soul. Who are you? You are one whose
heart is purified. Are we together? Are we together? Look at James 1 there, or is it in 1 Peter 1? If you now look at verse 23, he now says, be born again. So who are you? Say, I'm born again. I am born what? Again. It is not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Say, I am born again. Say, I am born again. My heart is purified through the Spirit. I am born again. My soul is purified through the Spirit. James 1. Quickly, who are you? Who are you? James 1. It is every good gift, verse 17, and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. His own will begotten you. Say, I'm begotten of God's will. Say, I'm born of God's will. Hallelujah. I'm born of God's will. You know, we oftentimes say, I'm born of God, right? I am born of God's will. You don't get what that means, right? Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. We're so close, okay? So, pay attention. Look at this. This person says, I'm born of God. Hallelujah. Is it right? Yes. Now, this text is also saying, I am born of what? God's will. What does it mean? Don't write, just listen. What does it mean? It means God has a will, isn't it? Isn't it? Now, if we say God has a will, does it sound like God has a mission? Does it sound like that? If I say God has a will, does it mean God has a mission? Does it sound like God has a purpose? Does it sound like there's something God is trying to achieve? God has a will, right? So look at the text. It says, you are born of what? Of His will. That means there is a mission, look at me, that God is on. On the road to that mission, He brought you forth. Did you see that? That means there's a reason for your birth. So, I'm born of God must always be seen as I'm born of God's will. I'm born of God's will means there is a walk ahead that I have been birthed to serve. Glory to God. So, I'm born of God is not a statement to then relax. I'm born of God means the moment you show up, you are supposed to be conscious of the walk at hand and get involved. I'm born of God's will. That also means that what God is trying to do, I have been equipped to get along. The believer has been equipped to do what God wants. The believer is born on a journey. God is trying to get something done, and to get it done, I came on board. That means my birth is one of a mission. And I've been equipped to carry out that mission. So no child of God, there is no disabled child of God. There is no disabled child of God. Is it clear? Look at me, everybody. That means, if there is no disabled child of God, if the birth is a birth to fulfill a mission, that means there ought to be no confused child of God. When you see a confused child of God, he has listened to other things. Glory to God. He has listened to what? Other things. He has listened to the world. He has listened to the world. He has taken so much of the world into him that he no more knows why he was born. Now, why you are born is who you are. The answer to the question who you are is why you were born. If you're trying to know who you are, find out why you were born. So he has interacted with the world so much that he's losing grip on the truth of why he was born. He needs to be reschooled again. He needs to be reschooled. So look at what he says. James 1. Who are you? He says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man walketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness. Receive with meekness the anger of the world, which is able to save your soul. What will you do out of the world? Not yours, only deceive your own self. For if any man be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's likened unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way. Wait. Look at that again. Verse 23. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Oh, so in the word of God, I see myself. The word of God is a reflection of who I am. In the word of God, I see myself. Hallelujah. So when you find a confused Christian, what does he need? Does a confused Christian need pampering? Can I get an answer, everyone? A confused Christian doesn't need pampering. A confused Christian doesn't need you to also act confused. Like him or her. No. A confused Christian needs to see who he is. Needs to see who she is. Now what shows you who you are, it is the word of God. The word of God will show you to yourself. I do not know who I am when I have not beheld God's word. You don't know who you are from your experiences. You don't know who you are from your age mates. You don't know who you are from your peer groups. You don't know who you are by checking other people in your profession. You don't know who you are by what the world tells you. You don't know who you are from the news and the blogs. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Then they are. Jealousy is built into the woman nature. That is not true. That is a woman who is not born again. You don't know who you are by what those blocks say. Glory to God forevermore. See, I know who I am from God's word. So he says, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholds himself. So in a glass, you behold what? Yourself. In a glass, you behold yourself. I see myself in God's word. Hallelujah. I see myself in God's word. So for the world not to squeeze you into his mold, you have to see the word of God. So who are you? I'm born of God. Who are you? I'm a man on mission. Who are you? I'm a product of God's will. Who are you? I'm a servant of God. Who are you? I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. In my workplace, I'm a Christian. In the campus, I'm a Christian. See, I'm a Christian. I am born again. In my neighborhood, I'm a Christian. Online, I'm a Christian. Offline, I'm a Christian. I don't live a double life, I'm a Christian everywhere. In the marketplace, I'm a Christian. In my witness among my siblings I'm a Christian. As a daughter to someone, I'm a Christian. As a son to someone, I'm a Christian. Among my friends, I'm a Christian. Don't blame me, I'm just a Christian. That is who you are. I did something some time ago. Someone told me, he said, are you a pastor? I'm a Christian. I'm both a Christian, before a pastor. Are we together? Are we together? Between a pastor and a Christian, who is more important? Being a Christian. I'm a Christian. Hallelujah. I'm a Christian, I don't lie. I'm a Christian, I don't steal. I'm a Christian, I don't swindle, I don't defraud. I'm a Christian, I don't steal people's money. I don't see people's money. I don't see people's money. Are we together? I'm a Christian. I don't lie against people. I don't ruin people's images. I don't join ships. I'm not unfaithful. I don't ruin relationships. I don't gossip about people. Why shouldn't I do all that? Because I'm a Christian. I walk in the Spirit. Glory to God forevermore. I'm a Christian. It is easy for me to do the word. So he says, he has begotten us. The word apokuo, which means to bring forth. In the Greek, apokuo. A-P-O-K-E-U-K-U-E-O. A-P-O-K-U-E-O. Apokuo. It means to bring forth. It means to produce something. Glory to God. I'm a product of God's word. So it is easy to learn God's word. It is easy to understand God's word. And when I'm walking in the world, look at this. I'm walking in my own. Hallelujah forevermore. So God's word is my mirror. I told you some time ago that the word of God is not a window. The word of God is a mirror, right? The word of God is not a window. What do you do in a window? You look out. No, the word of God is a mirror. In a mirror, you see yourself. You see yourself how you ought to be. Amen. See yourself. I have someone. He said, he was already explaining what is right in God's word. He said, oh, the word of God is a mirror. Then he just messed everything up. He says, you see, in the mirror, we will see our wretchedness. No. You have spoiled it. Are we together? No. It's not that kind of mirror. It's declared. The mirror that shows you who truly you are. So you make the adjustment. It's the clear church. It's the mirror that shows you who you are. So you don't suffer as a Christian from inferiority complex. You have 10 people around you who does the wrong thing. Then you're suffering from identity crisis. No, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. No, we do. It's easy for me to say, I'll pray about it. You can't pressure me into your body. I'm a Christian. My regular response is, let me pray about it. Let me talk to someone about it. I'm waiting to hear God about it. Let me wait on the Lord about it. Let me wait on the Lord. Those are the responses of a Christian. Glory to God. I'll close on this text now. Hebrews chapter 5. Glory to God. Hebrews. Before James. In Hebrews chapter 5, look at what it says. Hebrews chapter 5. The writer says in verse 12, he says, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you need that one teach you again, which be the false principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not as strong meat. It is for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the world around. For it is a babe. Now my attention is when it says, for when the time you ought to be teachers. For when the time, the word time there is the word chronos, which has to do with arrangement of things, events. I told you, you can have the word kairos for time. Then you can have the word chronos. Chronos has to do with seasons, activities,
Glory to God. Activities. Time. It is the time that you ought to. That word ought. I checked the word in the Greek. I'll spell it for you. It's the O-P-H. That O-P-H. E-I-L-O. 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 Something like ophelo. Something like that. Now, when you see the word ophelo in the Greek, it has to do with what you owe. It has to do with something that is due. Like to owe a debt. Something that is due. When you say, it's due. So it's time. Hallelujah. Ophelo has to do with something that accumulates. That is now due. It's more or less saying time is up. Or some things are compounded till this point. It has to do with something that heaps up, to heap something upon each other. What is done by accumulating? Because something has accumulated, it is now due. Glory to God. It shows you church. It says knowledge. 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 Knowledge ought to be compounding. Glory to God forevermore. My knowledge ought to be what? Compounding. Definitely this knowledge is from insight and experience. My experience compounding. Then it is when it compounds, things happen in seasons. So there is a season that I ought to be a teacher. Glory to God. The word didaskalos. There is a season that I ought to be a teacher. Is what instructor. Glory to God. The word teacher is what guide to be a guide. And that word is also used for a doctor, somebody who is learned. A doctor or a master, a teacher. Can you get those words? Are you getting those words? He says, look at it. He says, look at it. He says, after a while, you are due to be a teacher. Because something has heaped up. Hebrews chapter 5. After a while, you should be a guide. Glory to God. You should be a guide. You should be a guide. You should be an instructor. First time you were in service, the first time you showed up in service, the first time you came into church service, you came in for the first time. That was the first day you knew that there was a human being with a nose like mine. Are we together? You looked around. That was the first time you joined the service. After a while, you ought to be the one taking the service. Of his own will, he got yours. So look at this. Shame on you. That's what right. He said, because the time where you ought to be people's guide, you are now living as though you have never been guided. He says, shame on you. Ask your neighbor, say, is that you? Answer the person. Ask your neighbor, say, is that you? And don't say, is that you too, as the answer. Praise God. They say, is that you? Is that you too? That's not the answer. Are we there? Things are heaping up. Someone say heaping up. Piling up, right? Insights. He's piling up. Experiences. He's piling up. So are you growing in insight? And are you growing in experiences? To grow in insight. You want to grow in experiences. Jesus grew in experiences. And when you grow in experience, your approach changes. And then your results also increases. When you grow in experience, like in a business, let's say you've been doing a business and then you have diverse experiences, wrong experiences. Now you're growing. Someone give you money for business. The way you use the money, you blew it. You went to do things like you were given money for business. You were loaned money, for example. Someone loaned you, let's say, someone gave you a loan of, let's say, 10 million naira for business. You were given 50 million naira. Then the next thing you went to do, just went somewhere, you bought a building, you crashed it down, you rebuilt it. And you don't have stocks. We are going to shift. Because you are in the building. You will end up in a bank account. Are we together? It's just common sense that you don't use loan for liabilities, right? Right? You use loans for what? For assets. Isn't it? You need to buy things that will be talking. So imagine you made that mistake before. You've had experience. Then next time when money comes to you, you know what to do, right? Yes. So that means your approach to using the money has changed. So experiences changes your approach and increases your fruits. Is it clear? Experiences changes your approach, right? And what? Increases your fruits. Glory to God forevermore. So he says, It's heaped up. It's due. So when you come into church service, you are owing. For every service, you are owing. After a while, you begin to what? Pay back in code. But taking responsibility. I need to close. Are you with me, church? So learning must be with that mindset. So God's word is such that after a while, I become a guide. Are you learning to become a guide? God's word, play for me, is that after a while, I become an instructor. Are you learning to become an instructor? God's word is that after a while, I gain mastery of basic. Are you learning to gain mastery? How do I become an instructor? How do I become a guide? How do I gain mastery? Through insights and experiences. Someone say insights and experiences. Insights. So we pray for insights. Experiences. How do you get insights? By to receive the word. Yeah. What about experience? How do you get experience? By acting on the thing. You get insights by sitting down. Is it clear? You get experiences by what? Getting up. Hallelujah. Get insights by listening. You get experiences by acting. Experiences are not gotten in dormancy. You have to act on the word. Say, I act on the word. That opens up our next thoughts. The word of God is meant to be hard to be done. Walk the word. I do the word. Oh, I do the word. I do the word. I do the word. So look at this. You must prioritize experiences. Is it clear? Is it clear? You must prioritize what? Experiences. Supernatural experiences of the ministry. Experiences. How many people have you gotten filled with the Holy Ghost? That's an experience. Glory to God. In 2025, have you gotten 200 people filled? At the beginning of the new year, I can set a goal for myself and say, in the next 3 months, I'm going to get 100 people filled with the Holy Ghost. I've received insights on how to get people filled. If you don't set targets for yourself, Satan will give you wrong experiences. Because life must be filled, it's not a vacuum. Life is not a vacuum. What you act on will bring about experiences. And sometimes situations will come to you. They are not things you went to search for, but they will come. But you still act on the word in those circumstances. People will betray you, you still act on the word. People will lie against you, just like Daniel. You still act on the word. That's part of experience. People who hate on you, gossip against you, backstab you, you still act on the word. Walk in experience. Sometimes even with members of the church, people you are in the same church, you're going to act on God's word, they act on God's word. In the church, you act on God's word. Outside the church, you act on God's word. As a pastor, you must act on God's word. As a leader, you must act on God's word. As a worker in training, you must tell pastor, assisting functions, you need leaders, assisting functions. You must act on the word. Act on the word. Act on the word. We gain, multiply, experiences by acting on the inside. Act on the inside. Don't keep eating. I get robust and the chair broke down. Because you never exercise what you're eating. Act on the word. Are we together, church? So look at this. I must increase in insight. For the fact that I've right does not mean I have learned what? Properly. I have not properly learned. Only I have acted on the word again and again and again and again and again. Hallelujah. On God's word. That is how I become a guide. That is how I become an instructor. That is how I mastery. I become a guide. I become an instructor. I gain mastery by or through insights and experiences. What I have had, I act on it. Every teaching I listen to, daily teaching practices, must come with a list of to-dos. What I will act on. Hallelujah. I act on the insights. I act on the insights. I act on the insights. Daily acting on the insights is the Christian walk. As I journey with God, as I walk in His Word, I act on the insights. I act on the insights. I act on the insights day and night, in season, out of season, in convenience and in inconvenient moments, in good times, in the not so good times, in good health, in bad health, in times of abundance, in times of scarcity, when I am known, when I am not known, when men clap for me, when men criticize me, when I'm before the public, in private, I act on the inside. That is what makes a Christian. Acting Paul said, if by that time that you ought to be a guide, you have a need. The word need is the word kriya. C-H-R-E-I-A. Kriya. C-H-R-E-I-A. It means to suffer deficiency. At the point you ought to be a trainer, you are found lacking in the same things you should now be training others in. He says, it is unfortunate. So after a while, I should not be demonstrating lack of training. Insights can be observed after a while. Insights, the wisdom that is in insight comes via the gateway of experiences. The wisdom that it is in, that is in insight. Now, this is a truth that is applicable in every aspect of life. That the wisdom that is in insight is only released by what? Acting on it. Through experiences. Experiences is gotten by acting. Is it clear? Is it clear? Observe. There is no amount of debriefing a military personnel on the warfare that wins the war if it doesn't get into the field. There is no amount of agricultural lessons that plant the farm if you do not what? If you not get into the fields. There is no amount of talking about running, athletes running, that wins the medal if you don't get on the what? On the track. So there's what insight is meant to do. Insight is meant to prepare the way for experiences. And experiences is gotten by acting on the word. Acting on the word. So how to put the word on? How to keep it on? We find out from the men that God had used over the years. They kept God's word on. Hallelujah. So he says, do not be squished into this world's mold. He says, renew your mind so that you can what? Can act on the word that he may be able to prove that was good, acceptable, and perfect with of God. Hallelujah. We trust God for the church and our assembly, men and women, with hearts burning for God's word. Act on God's word in our days, in our times, in every season of our lives. Young, middle-aged, old, aged, male and female, in every season and times of life, acting on the word. In patience, in consistency, in long suffering, in absolute trust, acting on the word. Pray for yourself tonight that you are one who acts on the word. As a closing service. Pray for yourself. Pray in the Spirit.
I'm pronto to him, and render the negative, and free. I'm bringing it up. 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 I'm bringing it up.